All right. Welcome back, everybody. Here we are once again. It is the Dom and Colin podcast. I am Colin alongside Dom. Dom, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
A little sick today. Not that that's really the point of the question. It doesn't really matter how I'm doing. And regardless, my day is getting a hell of a lot better because joining us now for another Survivor Maryland interview is someone you guys know from Survivor Maryland Outback and, of course, Survivor Maryland All-Stars, Chris LeCompte. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you both for having me. It's great to meet both you and come on. I'm excited to talk some shit and shed some light.
Yeah, no, someone we've been very much looking forward to having on the podcast for quite some time now. And Chris, as I referenced, you, of course, have played Survivor Maryland twice, and we will be getting into a lot of details from, I think, probably both of those seasons today. So we like to start these interviews with just a quick spoiler alert. For anyone who hasn't seen at least Survivor Maryland All-Stars, definitely do watch that season in its entirety before you continue any further with this podcast. I'll kind of give a couple more seconds for the lazy people to finally press pause and then come back and check in with us once you've seen the whole season. But LeCompte, the place we've generally liked to kind of start as we get into your whole kind of Survivor Maryland experience is with just your background as a fan of Survivor prior to playing on the college campus, if any, yourself.
Right. So believe it or not, and I don't even know how well this is like sort of known, but I had never seen one episode before Outback. So my reality TV exposure was Big Brother and The Bachelor and The Bachelorette series. Those were the only two reality TV shows. My stepmom, she got me into those, and that kind of became our bonding thing. It was somewhat early on when she had married my dad. And that actually ended up just being a super cool, couple TV shows that we just would spend time and watch together. And so I had actually seen, I want to say, Big Brother, maybe like 14.
Great season.
15. Yeah.
Both great seasons.
Like, I think it was like 14 through, and I've seen since 14. But that was like, you know, she had been watching it. And then actually she's more of like a casual viewer. Like she would watch it, but fall asleep to it and then like sort of catch up on it. And I got like fully invested in it. And then obviously The Bachelor, Bachelorette was more like your guilty pleasure, like why am I doing this to myself type TV show. But I was all for it. I mean, I watched it with her and just seeing the absurdities of what these men or women will do to be on TV or how they'll carry themselves on TV. So it was great. And
I mean, just to quickly cut in, the idea that you began watching Dan Giesling checks out in a million different ways.
No, seriously, like literally, like the funeral speech and like the, I guess I don't know if it's he did Danielle dirty, but like just the absolute, first of all, strategy behind it and actually having a plan, and then also just being able to pull it off are two different things. You know what I'm saying? It's like to have not only the emotional sort of willingness to kind of do that. You know, you say for money, but also at some point you kind of think, is it even for the money or is it just the competitive like desire to not fail? You know, and then having the sort of tact to pull it off. I mean, I remember that being really epic. And yeah, and then obviously that combined with The Bachelor, maybe you sort of start to just see the absolute picture of, you know, just me being able to sort of talk to people and I think it makes sense. I mean, like you said, I mean, Dan Giesling he's an absurdity of a social strategic player for these games. I think he would do great on Survivor too, to be honest.
Oh, or really anything that he put his mind to.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm trying to imagine now, like, Austin hosting a season of The Bachelor Maryland on campus, which I think he'd actually be very good at. But
believe it or not, we've like joked, but also not joked about that before, because like you have these like hormonal like 17 to 21 year olds playing, and so like half the time you have people that are like getting involved anyway. And I remember one time it being like a joke, be like, wait, what if we like did The Bachelor Maryland? I mean, it obviously and probably for the better got shut down and was never ever talked about again, but it was at one point being talked about. I don't know how seriously, but
sounds like there's no real need for The Bachelor on the Maryland campus.
No, we don't need that.
Yeah, you're doing okay for yourselves. But it sounds like then when Austin, I guess, recruited you or headhunted you or whatever the term would be
for go.
for Marilyn Dartback, you had no idea really what you were getting yourself into.
No, literally I was a freshman and lived on the third floor of our dorm building, and Austin was I believe he was an RA that year. And so he was buddies with like Danny Patius and Alex Elkin. So Alex Elkin was the winner of season one. And then Danny was fourth, and or Danny was run, one of the runners up. Shubal was fourth. So Shubal lived on my floor when I was a freshman. Danny lived with Alex and this other guy, Ningwei. And Austin was the RA. Actually, I think Austin lived with someone and became the RA. But regardless, so I remember for his first season, like I would see these guys and girls like coming in and out of the dorm with like torches and stuff, and like coming back, and they'd be like muddied up and their clothes would be dirty. And I never really like thought much into it. And then I like knew what it was, you know, someone had been like, oh, like we're like Danny would be like, oh, we're doing Survivor. Yeah, at some point, whenever he was either the semester before, at some point, Austin just like, you know, he told me, he was like, hey, like, you know, I think you should do this. Like I'm doing this Survivor thing. I think you'd be really good at it. I think you would have a lot of fun. You're competitive and you play, you know, you're athletic, play sports, all that. So yeah, he literally just basically like came up to me and was like, you should do this. I don't even remember if I gave him a straight like yes or no answer. I think he sent applications at that point, maybe. And if I did an application, there's a definitive chance I gave Chris Thomas level answers. You know what I mean? Like nothing crazy. Cause I didn't know what I was really signing up for. So yeah, I mean that was my background for Survivor, man. I mean, I really had not, I mean, I knew what it was. Like I'd heard of people say, oh, you're voted off the island. I'd heard of, you know, the survival and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't really know what it was.
At what point did you start getting into the TV show?
After Outback, we all watched 27 together. So that was my first Survivor season was Tyson, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So that was I thought that was a good season to start on. It was exciting, had returning players, pretty good gameplay. I don't remember a ton about it because that was a while ago for me watching, and I've only seen, I don't think I've seen any Survivor seasons more than once at this point. I've only seen, I've seen from 27 on. And the cool thing was, is we all after Outback, like we would start to watch together. So like, I remember watching, what episode was it that we watched in Chris's dorm?
They notably went to Rocks at the final six on that season.
It wasn't a rock. It was an idol. What episode was it? It was, I think it was the Tony season. It was when LJ and Tony gave each other idols.
Yes, the merge at Cagayan. I previously called that the greatest episode in the history of Survivor.
Was that 28?
Yeah.
Yeah, so season 28, I mean, we were still in the dorms. And, I mean, at that point, we were, for the most part, people like me, Phil, Chris, obviously Austin, Josh, even Steve Sleesman, Nicole Locke would pop in. And we all watched a lot of episodes together. So I remember us being like everyone in the dorms packed like 8 or 9 people in a, you know, fucking 10 by 10 dorm. And, you know, we're all drinking, not drinking. Sorry, Austin, we didn't drink when you were an RA. yeah. So, I mean, literally I remember us just like getting hype, and it was as if we were watching like a sports game, like one idol got played and we're all like, oh, and then like they hand it back and we're like, duh, and we're all just like getting so pumped for it. I mean, at that point we were fully invested in Survivor.
Nice. Yeah, that's you picked a great time to get into both Big Brother and Survivor, I would say. But it's interesting, and I think, as I said earlier, it makes all the sense in the world now that I've heard this backstory that you came in as a Big Brother person, because one thing that I've heard from other people that we've talked to from, I guess, both of your seasons, and Shubal and Chris Thomas, and obviously Austin being there firsthand as well, is that you were quite good at talking to pretty much literally everybody and making everybody feel good. Was that something that you feel like you picked up on from Big Brother? Was that deliberate?
I don't know if I can honestly say it was deliberate. I think it's – so if you – people that have known me for a while, like, know that I'm one of the people that, A, you either really, like, you have people that say, like, you like me or you don't. like, I genuinely have always felt like I really define that. Like, I people either literally like me and like love me and want to be my friend, or they genuinely disdain me. Like, it's such a polarizing set. Like, I don't have very many people like, yeah, like, yeah, he's okay. It's just not what people typically say about me. So that combined with the fact that I like talking to people, like, I'm 100% extrovert. I derive my energy off of being able to interact with other people. And I think those sorts of things combined, and then obviously kind of having the big brother familiarity and kind of understanding that the way you can have success in these games is you just have to talk to people. You have to make people feel comfortable. I mean, it's all those things combined that I think gave me, I won't say a great toolkit, but like a pretty good foundation for which to start. I mean, the way I say it is that from the minute we started the first day of Outback and the first challenge, like, I was in, I was hooked. I was like, this is me.
When you say you get your energy from interacting with people, is that just a very like loose blanket statement, or does it have to be a specific type of interaction? Like, do you have to be the one kind of driving the conversation and setting the terms, or is it anything goes pretty much?
I won't say it has to be me driving or setting the tone. I mean, I like being the forefront and I like being involved. But at the same time, I've really grown into being able to listen a lot more, which I wasn't always like that. The way that I kind of explain myself is, so from back when I was young through like high school and, you know, middle school and high school, I, you know, given kind of things that happened in my life, and I'm more than happy to give the full backstory. But I never felt like I was like seen or heard, and I never feel like people knew me. And I believe that really what's going on is like, now I'm to the point where I want to be heard and seen and listened to, but it's almost borderline like need to. It's like, I have this like burning desire, this burning whatever inside me, where like, I want people to listen and I want people to hear me. I want people to be impacted by me. And that's going to hopefully continue progressively throughout my life, because I want to transition that not into just like, okay, you want to be heard, like, big deal, shut the fuck up, loud mouth, but like actually like transition it into tangible ways to actually help people and like impact people, if that sort of makes sense.
It sounds like you at least have some sense of what may have led you to become that kind of way. If you don't mind getting into it, I'd be curious to hear what that is.
For sure. So, and I mean, this is definitely like you see, I think, parts of this in All Stars. Maybe actually, I think Austin actually cut most out. So, it's in my audition video, and I can actually send you guys that if you ever want to see. I've sent in a Survivor tape, but so when I was 12, my mom drug overdosed and passed away. And that left me with my kid sister. She was 4 years younger than me, and my dad. And at the time, and for a long time after, did not have a good relationship with my dad. It was almost like taboo to like talk about my mom passing. And then people in my community had theories and all this kind of stuff on the intent, on whether it was suicide or not. And you had me, this 12-year-old kid, trying to like figure out the ins and outs of that, and effectively emotionally like raising myself. And I think that only now that I'm 25 and, you know, able to process that, and obviously old, you know, younger than 25, but I've begun recently in the past, let's say 3 to 6 years, being able to like really process like what happened and what led me through the certain stages of my life. I mean, I really went through middle school and high school, and even, I mean, college was different because then I was truly on my own. And you're kind of like, don't have rules and you can kind of fuck around as you please. But like middle school and high school, like, just had no real sense of self and was like hurting deeply on the inside, but outwardly was a good student and an athlete and, you know, a pretty social guy, like involved. I mean, when I was in high school, I was like the all purpose person. So like, some people are like, oh, I'm like a chameleon. I truly was. Like, I was on the soccer varsity team. I played basketball. I played tennis. I was on math honor society, national honor society. Like, I was in with the kids in my calculus class that I was at the top of the class with. And these kids ended up going to like Duke and Harvard and Brown. And then I also had my soccer buddies who I could shoot the shit with. And then I had my basketball buddies. I was the only white kid on the basketball team. So like, I literally was in with, and I spoke Spanish. So like, I could speak with the Hispanic people in high school. Like, literally everyone that could be like considered a group or a social whatever, like I had ties to and I related to and I could talk to and I could hang out with. So it was this whole moving through middle school, high school into Maryland with all these different like personality traits and super level of adaptability, but not ever really feeling like anyone like knew me, if that kind of like makes any, you know, sort of sense. And I think now what it's led to is like, I want people to know me. And now I'm super open about everything that I've gone through. I'm super open. I literally am open and will talk to anyone and listen to anyone who's dealing with shit, because I'm like, look, like the only way I got to the point where I'm at now is because I confronted my shit and dealt with my shit. Whereas before, everything was bad. You know, everything was not going well for me. It was when I kept shit in and I bottled shit up. So that's been kind of the transgression of, you know, where I was at and kind of how, I mean, this all is like a life story, but I think it also sort of like kind of has the overlap with Survivor, because you I started to at least put the pieces together of like why I'm able to do well in certain aspects and why I'm not able to do well in certain aspects, because I do have a strong, strong emotional, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I think Schubel actually describes it best. He's like, me and him were talking, and we were talking actually during the live Maryland game, right? And he was talking about like how he operates on like information and like using the information he knows at any point in time to convey it to people at his discretion to get people to do what is in his best interest, but them thinking it's in their best interest. That's like not me. And he's told me that. And I know that like I am much more of like an emotional appeal player, and I operate successfully by getting people to not go for me and to getting people to literally, even though they definitely know they shouldn't trust me, but they literally have this draw to me where, you know, they like, I could trust Chris. Like, right. And then you sort of have this kind of parallel between like me as a person and a player.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely interested to potentially expand more on that as things come up along the way. But let's get into this. And I'm curious, after your first time around, before we get into All-Stars, what your just kind of biggest takeaways were. You know, you come up just short in fourth place, right? Yes.
Yep.
And what did you think, if anything, you could have done differently to maybe have that go your way, other than obviously memorize things better?
Yeah, just don't suck. I don't know. I mean, this has been so long, and we've rehashed this many times. I mean, Austin and I have talked at length about the fact that on the Swap Tribe, I mean, Phil, for the most part, actually got the best of me and got me to kind of take out my own people. So if I look back, maybe that's something where I'm like, you know, do I just kind of pick off like a Chandler or, you know, someone else from Phil and Chris's side? But I was pretty at that point dead set on not really trusting Brandon and just wanting Ashley out of the game. So maybe looking back at like that point in the game and being like, okay, do I, you know, but like Austin has pretty much said to me, like Phil just kind of had his not claws in me, but he was sort of, you know, planting seeds and playing really well at that point. And it wasn't like I was in danger by taking out my own people. Like, I don't think my name ever came up on that Swap Tribe. Mm-hmm. And I mean, then from the merge on, I mean, if I could have, if me and Steve could have at that point kept Nicole in, I mean, that whole round was a fucking fluke. And that was, we screwed that up at the final nine. Like, we went for a split and we just shouldn't have. We should have all five voted for the same. When I say all five, meaning me, Steve, and Nicole, and then Chandler and Connor, it worked out for them because the split actually left them in a really good standing in the game. But I mean, looking back, like they voted for Phil and we could have just voted five votes on Phil.
Did you have any takeaways in terms of the approach you wanted to take, knowing how hard you went the first time, with some of the like lies or manipulation or whatever you want to call it, and knowing that this second time around, now plenty of people, I would assume, in the All-Stars cast will have seen that first season at the time you're going to be playing with them?
Right. I mean, I definitely played really aggressive, and obviously was heavy on the manipulation side and those sort of tactics. I mean, like Austin has said, and I remember saying this to him before All-Star started, I was like, I'm going to go in and I'm going to try and just like be like straight up and be low key and just like not cause waves. Like, I don't want to be that. And then literally without even anything happening, like just there was just no chance that was going to happen. Literally so much of the day one footage is actually cut out. I mean, I 110% drove the group meeting on the All-Stars guys tribe of me, Eric, at the time, which was me, Eric, Evan, Pascal, and Shubal. Like, I drove that. I like literally am talking to them and pretty much laying out like, look, like, we all are smart players. This game is like, we need this game to be in phases, and phase one is we need to have like a group of people that have enough trust to get us through this tribe. And I was like, we had five there, and then we knew we had Micah. And then funnily enough, Alex, I remember walking away from that group, and Eric actually looked at me and he was like, so what's that like Alex kid's deal? Cause he had just been really quiet and hadn't said much. And that's when we were kind of like, okay, let's bring in Micah as sort of the real five. But yeah, I mean, as far as like transferring like skills, I mean, I knew that I needed to not be as much of like an asshole as I was in Outback, because, even to this day, we debate on whether I could have even won the game if I had gotten to the end with Steve, or in Nicole, which it wouldn't have really been Nicole. It would have been me and Steve in the final two. But, you know, even like Chris Thomas to this day, he'll be like, dude, you probably couldn't have won that against Steve. He was like, he had the jury votes. And we have that debate, which is always fun. But I mean, the reason that his argument is potentially valid is because I didn't consciously think about like whether or not people would vote for me because they liked me. In my mind, I was playing the most definitive, aggressive game. I was the one driving the strategy, so I deserve to win. Like, literally, if you go back to me at any point throughout Outback, my mindset is I am going to win the game. That's how I operated the entire time throughout Outback, was I am going to win this game.
And did that change at all coming back for All-Stars, when clearly you didn't win the first time, but it seemed like you were hovering around the edges and maybe could have done if things had just gone slightly differently?
For All-Stars?
Yeah.
So when I just said that Outback, I definitively the whole time was I'm going to win, and that's how I played. I think that's actually a big, we'll call it transferable mindset that I did not carry into All-Stars, and that is a big reason why I did not, potentially live up to my own hopes. I think, I mean, I went farther than a lot of people thought I would in All-Stars.
Certainly me. No offense.
Right. No. I mean, it's valid. It's very valid. But I think the way that I described sort of All-Stars for me was like, I was just going with everything, and I was having conversations on a whim, and I'm good at it, but at no point did I ever have like a legitimate set of plans or pathways. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the ones I did have the best shot at, I didn't lock them in.
Yeah. Well, it's, interesting that you were, I don't want to, mischaracterize this, but, potentially less motivated to win the second time around, because from what we've heard from people so far, and I'm guessing we will hear something similar from the people we talk to after this, as soon as everyone had a kind of a clear idea of who were the likely people to be in the cast, every person was hearing from Chris LeCompte before the game started.
So I have heard that. I knew that was going to come up. So I think it's much lower than what people like, what, for instance, like Austin and Shubal and Chris have said. So if I was curious, as Shubal was doing it the other day, I actually went to, and I can screenshot you guys this, it's actually really funny. So if I go to my GroupMe and I search Shubal, right? So you have on May 29th of 2015.
Wow, we're getting some hardcore receipts here.
I'm literally looking at it. It's May 29th of 2015. And so you got to think that's after Austin has kind of like decided the cast, right? And you have a message from me that says All-Stars ? And then on August 15th, 2015, so about whatever you want to call it, 2.5 months later, from no response, I said, wow, fried me, Shubal. So he had never responded, and so then he did reply and said, didn't see the message. Sorry, of course. I thought me and you were already locked in for an All-Stars Alliance. And I said, bro, really hurt you didn't reply. I only message on here because I don't have your number. And I gave him my number. So that was the extent of any real, like, pre-gaming. So he actually was the one who first brought up, like, any type of working together. I just initiated it with a question.
That conversation is perfect.
No, I just took a screenshot. I'll send it to you guys so you can look at it. Let me see. I don't know if it'll go over Twitter. But it's – I mean, I agree. It's very – much so like the there, I just sent it. I don't know if you can see it, Colin.
Take a look.
But you can take a look at it later. But anyway, I definitely did that with like a good amount of people. So like going in, I knew 18 of 20 people for sure. And the girl and the guy who I hadn't predicted was Brandon. And who was the girl? I knew Siona. There was one girl who I did not know was playing.
Rebecca, but I knew potentially?
It was maybe Rebecca, but in the same regard, I think I knew Rebecca was playing because I had a gut feeling Austin would give her a shot because he had always talked about her having more potential than a first boot. So I actually had her in the nine girls. It'll come to me who I did. It might have been Michelle. Oh no, you know who it was? Sorry, it was Sierra. Sierra was the one girl I did not know was in. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Well, what were your ideas pregame about who you felt good about, and you know, other than the guys' alliance, I suppose, who on the girls' side were you feeling good about? And I guess also, was there anyone you're feeling actively bad about?
Yeah, sure. So Siona definitely did not feel good about. At the time, had not, you know, we knew each other and we were friends after All Stars, but not like anything. It was more of like a joking, wow, we really didn't ever align type of friendship. So the person I felt the best about coming to All Stars was easily Shannon. The backstory there is that. At the end of Guts and Glory, and I was on the cast, or I was on the crew for Guts and Glory. Like, I literally was there from start to finish. Twofold, obviously, I loved it, loved Survivor Maryland, loved helping Austin out, loved being involved in it, loved seeing it from the other side. But I also knew that there was a high percentage that there was going to be an All-Star season. So I was like, okay, sure, I'll see how all these players play. And so, you know, for most of the season, to a lot of them, I was just – like, and even Shannon had said this in hindsight, like, I was just like that guy who's helping Austin. Like, they didn't know me. The ones who had seen my season kind of knew me. And long story short, they had like their end of season party, and I was dealing with a lot. I think Austin kind of touched on it. I had a huge, huge drinking problem. Can happily say that I'm over 32 months without drinking, which is dope. But so Austin, and I think this was at like Shubel or Danny's apartment, Danny Pacious. And they had a Survivor party, and I just got absolutely trashed and was off my rocker, tried to like fight Austin, and literally like he
better or worse than that immunity challenge.
It was, I mean, believe it was a little bit worse. I mean, again, like literally love the dude. He's one of my closest friends, and it's one of the things that shows alcohol can really screw you up. And yeah, it was just like going kind of nuts. I think Holly actually was one who kind of like got me. Holly and Shannon got me like out of the situation. And the next day, and again, Shannon didn't know me. Shannon hit me up, and she was like, "Hey, I feel like you could really use someone to talk to. Like, do you want to grab food?" Like, so we went and got Chipotle, and we went and just sort of talked. And from that point on was my summer internship. And so I was living in College Park. She was in college. I mean, we hung out literally probably 5 or 6 days a week that summer. And we're never a thing. We were never like dating. It was nothing. Like, it was literally just a friendship, and it just grew and grew and grew. And, you know, the closer it got to the fall, we were like, we knew we were both playing. And so we actually watched most of my season together. And I think we started Holly season. We started Terrapin Trials together. So, I mean, we were like really, really close. And we pretty much at the beginning of the season looked at each other and we were like, just, she was like, you better not backstab me. And I was like, you better not backstab me, which is, I'll never forget that, just because she did obviously end up, you know, voting for me, which was warranted. And we've talked about that. But yeah, as far as who I felt the best about going in, Shannon was kind of rocky with Holly at that point. Did not feel good about Siona. Felt actually pretty good about Rebecca and Ashley. I won't say that. I didn't feel good about Ashley until she reached out to me, but we had been in a better place going in. And then Nicole Senti, just cause we had a really, really strong friendship.
And at this point you're living with Eric King. Was it another situation where you would have potentially, like with Steve, said there's pretty much nothing that could come between us if it came down to that?
No, and that breaks his heart for sure. But no, I was definitely less loyal to Eric than he was to me. He pretty much, I think, would have taken me to the final two, no questions asked. And there were legitimate times where I was like considering, you know, when do I need to be? You got to remember, the partner twist fucked everything up. And if not for the partner twist, I probably would have gone really far with Eric, especially since I knew I could probably beat him in the end. But the partner twist, you know, it was pretty much, do I want to get Eric or do I want to get Shannon? And I, in my mind, Eric would take it a lot less personally if I betrayed him than would Shannon.
Okay. Well, speaking of the partner twist, when you show up on day one, you find out not only are you split men versus women for the starting tribes, but there are also going to be secret partners. The girls are going to draw a guy's name, and then it's at their discretion when they want to tell the person that, hey, I drew you to be my partner. I believe you found out pretty quickly that Holly was your partner, but it sounds like potentially not the best result for you there. How did you feel about that?
It was honestly the only result that made sense. I mean, literally, we both looked at each other. We were like, are you fucking kidding me? the backstory is, me and Holly, when she was playing her first season, we started hanging out. We're not dating, but we were college dating, whatever you want to call that. And we hung out a lot. And then I left for the summer after my sophomore year and went home, obviously. And she went home and you know, we just never like established what was going on. And, you know, then we came back my junior year and didn't really see each other that much. I had moved off campus. She had moved into her sorority house. And then the winter of my junior year, we both ended up on the same study abroad trip. And we were pretty much like, maybe we can use this to like figure out what's going on. But then, you know, she ended up, you know, being with someone on that trip, and I ended up getting lost in fucking Thailand. And so, you know, it just never aligned. And then when we were coming into All Stars, like, we just definitely, we had never like rectified anything. I mean, we were cool and we were friends, you could say, but we had never come to an agreement of like, okay, we need to stop trying to like actually, you know, make this work. And we just need to be friends. And we had never really definitively been like, you know, we're going to, you know, it just never worked out. And so, but at the same time, like, we get along really well. So it's not like there's any real tension. So when she, I don't remember how to, I think she just texted me and was like, I'm coming over. And she was like, she told me, and I was like, of course you fucking are. I had been kind of hoping I got Shannon, to be honest, because we had already talked about not telling people how close we are. Like, we were really going to downplay that, which lasted about 6 minutes for me. I don't think there was anyone else. I was like, I don't want to. I mean, if it had been someone like Sierra or Michelle, it just would have been not as big of a factor for me, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, man, I'll tell you this, and this is like just an unknown little, I mean, literally, and it's in the episode where they talk about it, I think, Shannon and Holly, but like, I kid you not, it was the most like, oh fuck me moment I think I've ever had, when I just stupidly didn't plan accordingly. And literally, Holly was over and had just told me she was her partner, and we had just talked like 45 minutes, and then she's leaving, and I'm like looking on my phone, and Shannon's like, hey, I'm walking in. So literally, Shannon like walks in my door as Holly's leaving, and they awkwardly just say hi, and I'm just like, literally, oh my, and literally, I mean, I feel it in that moment. I'm like, wow, I just screwed up my game really badly. And Shannon was just like, turned to me, she was like, that was really weird. She was like, that was really fucking weird, Chris. I'm really sketched out. Why is she here? And so then I had to like, I literally had to tell, Holly had already told me, don't tell anyone. I had already told Holly that Shannon and I are like best friends. I then had to tell Shannon I'm partners with Holly, which made me lie to Holly. I was just fucked like on that regard from the beginning, because if I had played my cards better there, I could have been in a really good spot. I would have had Holly as my partner. I should not have told her how close I was with Shannon. I should have told Shannon, Holly's my partner, but I'm not telling anyone but you, and me and you are going to downplay our relationship. It's going to be perfect. They wouldn't have run into each other in my house, and I would have been set. But honestly, I think that actually really set the tone for my game, because from the beginning, it made me have to like always be covering 10% of my story and having to kind of try and put the pieces together way more than I probably needed to.
What did you make of that relationship between Holly and Shannon? Because it felt like the two of them got along very well, and they kind of saw a little bit of themselves in each other, but they also knew that eventually there was going to be some kind of conflict there.
Yeah, they definitely have similarities. They're both very, very dominant women. They're both very, very bold personalities, and I respect the hell out of both of them. And they, I think, were threatened by each other, but then they also got to certain points where they were really like, wow, I like really like Holly. I really like Shannon. Like, they really were about each other. Like, we were like almost to the point where I was like, damn, like me, Eric, Holly, and Shannon could potentially really be a dominant foursome and say, fuck the pairs twist. Let's just vote out other people. Like, we don't need to get the pairs twist, but it just never formulated. I think there was just too much distrust. And I think I was actually a pretty big piece of that. I think Holly wanted me away from Shannon, and I think Shannon wanted me away from Holly. And I think also just even removing me, I think they just were, I think they were threatened by each other.
Was there any point during the early days of the game as, you know, Pascal and Ryan and Brandon are getting voted out from the guys' tribe, where you felt at all unsafe? Because it at least seems in the episodes and based on what we've heard so far, like, you seem to have a pretty big stranglehold on the early goings-on on the guys' tribe.
I never felt unsafe. I think that the Ryan vote, apparently, I mean, Shubal could have pulled it off. And by pure numbers, I do see that. He could have voted with Brandon, Chris, himself, Ryan, and Alex G. And that would have been a 5-4 vote. Obviously Ryan voted for me that round. I mean, effectively, again, another blunder for me. So if you go back to, you know, and this isn't as much on camera, but basically the way the first two rounds went was, the guys really wanted, a lot of the guys wanted Ryan. And half that reason was because I, from the jump in that 5-person alliance of me, Alex, Evan, Shubal, Micah, King, so whatever you want to call it, 5 or 6. I mean, really, basically, we swapped Alex out for Micah. But in that kind of initial thing, I threw Ryan directly under the bus because I did not plan on working with him. I did not think we could trust each other. And I knew he was smart, and I knew he had gone far in our season. So I wanted him out. I liked Evan at that point more than Ryan. I liked Micah at that point. And even Shubal, to a point, I was willing to give more of a shot than Ryan. So I literally threw Ryan fully under the bus to Evan and Alex and all those guys. I think I said something about the fact that he was anti-season 4. Like, I was kind of the one who started that whole thing. And then Ryan reaches out to me and says, hey, can I come over and talk? And then he's talking to me about, like, I really think – and I was right in the fact he did want to go for the season. He wanted to go for Alex or Evan from the jump. So I actually predicted it right. And he was like, I really think like me and you and Ryan can, or me, you and Chris can like be a strong season 2 thing. And like he, you know, we talked about his relationships with the girls on the other side and how that would be good come swap or merge. And then I was like, damn it. I was like, I can't vote Ryan out first. And so then, you know, I kind of went back and looped in with the fact that Eric was really thrown by Alex. And I even to a point was thrown by Alex. So then we shifted it onto Alex. then it became getting Evan to be okay with that. So in my hour-long meeting with Evan, I did a lot of work convincing him to vote off Pascal first, and we made a deal and we shook hands that Ryan would be the second one off no matter what, which that never made the episodes. But me and Evan literally shook hands. He was like, you have to promise me that Ryan goes next. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I was like, he goes next, 100%.
How much did you know about the season four people? I assume, Evan, you got kind of an inside scoop on from Shannon, but did you have a good sense of the others?
As far as, like, Pascal? Like, you mean just all season four people?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was there the whole season.
Oh, of
I
think course. That's right.
Yeah. I think I literally – the only things I missed were, like, from final four on. So I, okay. I wasn't at the final four challenge, and I didn't go to final tribal.
Because one of the things we had heard about Pascal was – him potentially making a bad first impression, but this was nowhere near your first impression of Pascal, and you'd already liked him and wanted
to
initially.
No, I was actually a pretty big Pascal fan when watching him. Like, we were rooting for him because he was kind of like the underdog, and he's like this mysterious kind of dude who, like, you don't really know what he's saying. He's talking about, like, Machiavellian and binary codes, and he's like all these weird things that you're like, dude, this is Survivor, not like your comp sci class. And but he's actually a really cool dude. I'm actually really close with him. And then this is another fun little tidbit because obviously, like, when we're playing, where, like, Alex doesn't get voted off and, like, shunned. He actually, like, was kind of, like, hanging around after. And I remember him walking up to me after we voted him out 9-1, and he looked at me in the eye. And he said something, and I was like, dude, like, it's a game. And he was like, I'm fine. He was like, I'm good, but I'm assuming you're the author, right? And I was just like, damn, this kind of sucks. Like, he was really looking forward to playing, and I took it away because I was literally the one who made the decision. Because he had literally no idea. Like, there was a whole 45-minute meeting of me and him that I think some B-roll is used in the episodes when Austin's editing it together, where you see me and Alex talking. But that's pretty much me, like, literally selling him that Ryan's going home. Like, I don't even think we're talking about him being a target. I think we're just literally talking about the future of the game, and the whole purpose of the meeting was for me to make him feel safe.
Did it ever slow you down when you heard from Pascal, like, oh, I essentially hold you responsible for this? This second, did hearing that make you feel like you would potentially need to take it easier this time around, or did it kind of give you the sense of, no matter what I do, people are going to hold me responsible?
It made me – I remember I pretty much went and linked up with Austin, and I was just like – I looked and I was like, dude, this is going to be a lot harder this time around. Mm-hmm. Like, these people are, like, my friends. Like, I know these people. I mean, it was easy to vote out, like, I didn't vote Carla out, but it was easy to vote out, like, the Brandon Drapers and the Exandrias. Like, I didn't have, like, close personal connections. And I wasn't even that close with Alex, but – we were both all-stars, and we were both fourth place, and we had talked about that. And, you know, I mean, I really was, like, building a deep connection just to make sure he, like, was blindsided. I mean, the best thing to do is to blindside someone at the end of the day, if you don't want anything weird to happen. And was always willing in Outback to do that. And I was very willing to do it with Alex. And I think that led to my blunder with Ryan, which was I didn't blindside Ryan. I told Ryan, like, dude, like, I don't think I was like, dude, I think you're going. I told him, I was like, I think you're going home. And I think that's where you definitively see a change, not at the beginning of All Stars, but it's actually with the Ryan vote with me in All Stars, where, like, I would have had no problem in Outback not telling Ryan we were voting for him. But then you have me in All Stars telling Ryan that he's going to get voted out. And it leads to him going off and trying to vote me out. You know what I mean? Because he's not going to go down without a fight. And he went and he tried to build a case. And then his vote ended up going towards me. And it just made me realize, like, and then, you know, and then I'm sitting next to Ryan in a finance class we had, like, 2 days later. And, you know, he's like, you know, you're an ass. He's like, you didn't need to do that. I can't say anything. Like, I can't talk game. And he's out. And I just have to kind of, you know, deal with it. So it was it from a very early stage, I would say, took a toll on me, because I realized that just by who I am and how I am, and that people already saw me as a threat, like, I couldn't just sit back. I had to do some of the things that I had to do, and that also meant I was going to get left with a lot of the blame. I mean, literally the first two people out of the game literally blamed it on me, and they were 8-1 and 9-1 votes.
Right. Right. What were you making at this point of Chris Thomas, our eventual winner of this season, who it seems has it out for you, to say the least?
I definitely not in the first two people going home had any idea he was not about me. I mean, he was definitely going against the grain, especially with the Ryan vote. He was definitely trying to get that vote on Evan. And Ryan was trying to get it. Ryan wanted to go for Evan because I remember Ryan coming up to being like, why not Evan or Micah? Like, why would you want to work with these guys? They're going to stick together. And, you know, I knew Chris was wanting to work with Ryan. And so I saw it as more of him wanting Ryan because I knew they had developed a really good relationship from Outback. And so my senses definitely were not high at that point of Chris. I think for the most part, I was definitely of the sentiment that he was not really invested. I mean, it is really true. He was literally drinking day one, like at whatever AM. And I was not judging because, like I said, I had my own issues with drinking. So it wasn't about that. But it was just like I also knew when to turn it on and off for the game. Like I knew that I needed to be alert and on my game. Like I couldn't just be willy nilly and have a flask and have and then expect to be okay or safe. So, I mean, I was not threatened by Chris at all from the beginning. I literally saw him as someone that we could vote out when needed.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I've had this playback a bunch of times. It hindsight is 2020. I obviously should have got Chris out instead of Brandon. I obviously should have got Chris out instead of Senti or Sabrina. And, you know, if I could go back and do that, I would, obviously. But that's not where I was at. He was doing things well. He especially after even after they tried to get me out on the swap tribe, that he did pretty well at talking to me, I would say.
Yeah, you're gonna swap after these first few boots end up going down, but before we get these new teams, we end up with a new person entering the game in the form of Faluke. What did you think about that?
I mean, you hear me yell, and I was as excited as possible. I mean, I didn't make a big deal out of it when Faluke wasn't there on day one, but I was definitely shocked when – and obviously I did my research and my homework ahead of time, and I told you I knew 18 of 20, but I also knew she wasn't, and it was shocking to me. I was like, wow, I definitely would have assumed she would have played. She was arguably if not, you know, bigger than my name, she was equally – like we're very like known as like two of the people that had like really left their mark on their own season. I mean, even season four didn't really have like that one person who you can say was like a stamp on the game. I mean, obviously Katie played a great game. Soka Trio is a great alliance that worked really well together. Pascal's his own unique person, but no one left their like true, I would say, mark where it was like dominated by them. Even though I didn't even make Final Tribal, you would still most of the time, if you're to say like whose season it was LeComp's season, and season two, even though Terry won, you don't say it's Terry's, you say it's like Faluke's season, or even Victoria's season. Like you have those names that really truly left their mark. So when she came in, I was all for it. I was like, it's a change up. I actually feel like I have a good, I didn't know Faluke that well, but I did know her. And so I was like, that's definitely someone I can work with. And I know how she is. So I know how to like, you know, when you talk, when you listen to Schubel talking about Faluke, he's saying like he knew from the get go, like his manipulation and all that kind of stuff just wouldn't fly with Faluke, and his sneakiness, like she would just not fuck with it. I knew that my approach would be exactly what Faluke would be receptive to.
And I guess was there a hope that just her being that atoll would take some of the heat off you, even if she wasn't doing anything to earn it, just the same way that you were?
110%. It was that combined with the fact that added another fueling of Faluke Victoria into the fire. Like I knew that was going to be a focus. I mean, honestly, I wanted to end up on a tribe with Faluke and Victoria so that I could get Victoria out, because I never was going to trust Victoria. And I knew that if I could get on that tribe, that would be a good time to try and make the move on Victoria.
Why didn't you ever want to trust Victoria just from her first season?
So yeah, I just never watching Victoria. I saw the shit that she was able to pull. And then even in the early stages of talking to her, like literally, and I've told her this now, like, cause she's asked me why I don't trust her. And then we played the live Maryland game together and I voted her out. And she asked me, she was like, you know, like I said, Victoria, honestly, like when I am talking strategy with you, I literally get the most uneasy feeling from you. And it's part of it's in your eyes. Part of it's just in your demeanor. Like you literally make me feel uneasy, and not many people do that.
Wow. Yeah. I think that has been something that we've heard from other people as well, is Victoria is able to be a tremendously effective survivor player, but potentially not in such a way where people come away from it super inclined to vote for her in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think she played a really savage game in Trials, and then she made it far in All-Stars without some of the savage. I mean, she makes her moves late, and I think she's someone who, if you let get far, as she proved twice, she's willing to get her hands as dirty as anyone. And for me, I was very aware of that, and I at no point wanted her in any endgame scenario. I mean, I tried to push for her name when Rebecca went out. I tried to push for her name. This was the first merge vote, and I can get into this because we're getting close to it. But I pushed for her name at the Faluke vote. I just was never, ever, ever wanting to work with Victoria.
Yeah, that's understandable, I suppose. How did you feel about your swap tribe draw? Because it seems like on the surface and the way it was presented in the episode, you have your roommate King on your team still, and then your partner Holly, who it seems like has Ashley pretty well on board, and you seem to be at least on decent enough terms with Ashley, and right there is half the tribe. So feeling good?
Yeah, so, I mean, if you take that tribe, I felt better with Ashley than I did with Holly. I mean, honestly, so you go back to the early stages. Once Alex got voted out, Ashley, and I'm one of the people who shares the sentiment of I don't think Ashley gets enough credit. I mean, she made an incredible social game move by reaching out to me. She had lost her partner, and she came to me, and she was like, look, like, I know we have our you know, history of not liking each other and you voted me out. But she was like, I just need someone in the game, like to be cool with. And we just talked a bunch, and we literally buried everything that had ever happened under the hatchet. And we just started to develop not only a good working relationship, but a good friendship. She cultivated that, and she started that. And obviously I was very receptive to it. And I knew part of it was her wanting – I mean, she obviously picked me out of all the guys to come to, but I think that was strategic. Moving forward, I mean, especially when we swapped on her tribe, I was more than ecstatic because I knew that me and her were cool, and I knew she would not turn on Holly. And then I obviously had Eric. So in my mind, that was four. I was like, there's no shot in hell there's a majority on this tribe to get me out. There's just no shot I go home 5-3. I was like, the best that can happen is – And you got to remember, I got Nicole on that tribe, and to me, Nicole was someone who definitely would not go get. So in my mind, there was literally 0% chance of me going home on that tribe. I literally was so happy with that swap. In my mind, I had a Sierra vote that was going to be easy, and I had, if it came to it, a Chris or Sabrina vote that would happen.
The Sierra vote turns out to be not so easy. Talk us through this drunk tribal council where, dude, you almost end up leaving here.
Dude, that whole entire night was absurd, like literally absurd. And the craziest thing is we didn't even know how like screwed we were until we like got there, or like until soon before. Like literally I met with Sierra in the business school, and we basically bullshitted each other for like, but I didn't realize she knew that like it was one of those things where like I let my verbal prowess kind of get the best of me, and thinking that I'm like in like, you know, kind of, because I, you gotta remember, that's what I was used to from Outback. I was used to being in control and running things. And so, you know, I'm sitting there pretty much feeding her all this shit that we're going to vote Ashley out. And, you know, she's like that. She's cool with that. And then me and her and Eric meet, and we're talking about voting Ashley out. And Eric's like, you know, I'm tired. You know, we're basically, we're tired of Ashley, all this stuff. And I remember Sierra left Ashley, and me and King were in Austin's room, and we literally look at each other and we're like, man, I can't believe we're about to ice her. And I was like, dude, it's your second time about to ice her. Like we were literally so cocky. We didn't think there was, we thought we were golden. We thought it was me, Ashley, Holly, Eric, and Senti, and that was five. And to my knowledge, Chris and Sabrina were fine with it. and I don't really remember what happened. We go to tribal, and like I had been trying to get up with Holly just to like make sure, like check in and be like, hey, like we're good. Like, are we good for the Sierra boat? And Holly was ignoring. Holly was not answering me. And then Holly comes out of the dorm next to tribal with Chris. And I don't remember if Sabrina was there too. But I just remember literally them walking up, and I look at Holly and I'm like, are we just not voting the same tonight? And she just looks at me and she looks away, and I'm like, okay. So I knew something was up then. And leading up to it, I had started to like, you know, the hour before, I would say, was like the frantic hour. That's when I was doing things like, you know, talking to Nicole. I had been at Nicole's earlier. And then that's when you see those text messages where I'm just like laying it into her, our friendship. And in that moment, I thought I was laying into her to get her to vote for Sierra, not Ashley. I had no idea I was actually getting her to just not vote for me. I had no idea. And I mean, it turns out that was just unbelievably crucial that my senses were on enough to know that people were not being straight up with me, because it led for her to not put my name down. But yeah, I mean, I literally just remember thinking, and I said it out loud to Eric. I was like, as the votes were, you know, as Austin kind of wrapped up tribal, I was like, Eric, I think one of us is about to be real sad.
Yeah. That based on, the way you're describing, particularly Holly there, I would say, pretty good reasons to be not optimistic, but you do manage to come out of that vote in a revote, still alive. And you go from there and keep losing these next couple of challenges. But at this point, did you feel a little better about having the numbers?
Yeah, I mean, after that, like, you know, you've heard all this stuff about like Holly ripping Chris a new one, and I popped off on everyone. I mean, I was livid with Senti. I was like, Senti, like, honestly, I was pretty clear cut with Senti. I was like, look, Senti, you either should have voted me out or you should have voted with me. Like you should have chose, and you didn't. You voted for King. You let it go to a tie. You showed the two hands you were considering, and you didn't pick one. And now I don't trust you. I mean, I told Sabrina straight up, like I didn't trust her. I remember walking away from that tribal, and Sabrina was like, Chris, you have to realize like you're literally such a scary player to have in the game. Like for someone like me, like we don't have a good relationship. You know what I mean? Cause I was like mad at her for going for me. And she was trying to basically get me to understand like, Chris, like what would I want you in the game for? And she was like, you're so good at talking to people. And you're like, literally it's intimidating to be like on a tribe and in the game with you. And you were not, and I'm not one of your people. And, you know, at that point there was like such a clear an open level of like communication, because it was so definitively going to be 4 versus 3 at worst, because like literally I had basically gone back to Holly and Ashley and Eric. I was like, look, like I know Eric that Holly just voted for you. Like, but you got to bury it, dude. Like we need these four and we cannot trust the other three. So, I felt good about the numbers. I was still really, really pissed at myself for letting it get to that point. And then, yeah, I mean, shit, you're talking like the next challenge. I mean, I don't know if it was there was one challenge where I legitimately was out loud talking about throwing, like in front of Chris and Sabrina. I was like, no, I'm dead ass serious. I was like, I don't fucking want you guys here. Like, you don't want me here. Like, why do I want to win to keep you in the game?
Yeah. I think it struck me as interesting to hear Sabrina be that forthright about why there's nothing really in it for me to keep you in the game. And I think of the people who voted for you or King that night, that's the case for most of them, right? Is we hear from like Schubel or Chris Thomas, you know, keeping LeCompte around for a while could be a good thing because he's always going to be a bigger target than me. But for right. Sabrina or Sierra, there's nothing they need from that.
Right. Exactly. I mean, she was pretty much just saying like, and it was there. I told them this. I was like, look, I applaud you guys for taking the shot. I was like, but it didn't fucking work. And now you're dead. Like you're dead to me. Like I have no qualms about voting you out. And I told them that to their face. Obviously like with Senti, it was much more like Senti, like I am frustrated with how you approach this whole fucking round, but like, I want you to know, like, I will literally go all the way in this game with you. Like, we can go very far. Like, I don't want you to feel like you can't trust me. I don't want you to feel, I mean, I was obviously like sugaring it up a little bit. I had other people, but I was like, look, like, you know, I needed to reel her back in. And she was like, I know I could tell she felt bad and all that kind of stuff. And I made it, I needed her to feel more like she made a mistake by trying to go for me, as opposed to her regretting not voting for me, if that makes sense. Like, I didn't want her to feel like she had made the right choice by considering going with Chris, because I needed her to be against Chris, which she was, until obviously, like, they've once the episodes came out, she was like, wow, I really should have voted you out, to me. Like, she knew what she should have done.
What was her emotional state like during that period? Because she almost pulls the trigger and then chickens out the last second, and then you're trading on the friendship that the two of you have to kind of guilt trip her, and then she ends up getting voted out herself, and then there's all this regret and so on. So she must have been pretty just confused and torn up.
She was not doing well. She was really beat up over the fact that she essentially like left Chris and Sabrina and Sierra out to dry, and obviously Sierra got voted out basically because of her. And then she also had me and, you know, Ashley and Holly pissed at her. So she just was not in a good spot on the tribe. I mean, she literally went from, if they had voted me out successfully, she would have been probably in one of the best positions of the game, to being easily in the worst position on our tribe. Even more so than I think Chris and Sabrina, because Chris and Sabrina had partners in the game, even though Chris didn't know it. And Sabrina had a great partner in the game that was willing to help her. I mean, Nicole was drawing dead, I think. Her best shot was me, and she had become at that point expendable to me.
All right. So I guess let's get into the merge here next. What did you think of how this group was stacking up here as you saw who finally made it to the merge? And was this something where people were planning long ahead of time? Because, you know, Survivor Maryland, unlike the CBS or any other kind of televised Survivor, you guys are not on separate beaches. You guys live often on the same floor of the same dorm room where you can constantly be talking to each other. So I'm imagining a lot of preparation went into this.
There was a lot of preparation. I mean, I would say that the living in the same dorm thing definitely was not the vibe in All Stars, because we were spread across ages. So like, you had me and Eric living in a house off campus. Shubal, I don't even know where Shubal lived. People lived really spread out throughout College Park. So if you were spending time with someone, it's because you were dedicating the time. You were planning to meet up with them. You were, you know, like, if it was Chris Thomas, you're inviting people over to play in 64, or you're going out to the bars, or, I mean, if it's Ryan's case in the early game, he's literally biking out to my side of College Park to meet with me. But yeah, I mean, you definitely had people, you know, planning for the merge. I mean, I would say for me specifically, I think, again, just to go back to the difference in mindset from Outback and All-Stars, I just don't think I was planning enough. I think I was like really just living and playing in the moment to survive and have the most ideal conversation at that point. At no point was I ever like, okay, like, what do I need to do to make sure that I'm in a good spot two rounds from now, or that, you know what I mean? It was very much so just like not existing, but like it playing. I was just playing, and I wasn't planning. And I think that was a big mistake. But I mean, yeah, I mean, you get to the merge. My tribe is, three losses in a row. You know, I voted Cynthia out. I was happy about Sabrina being out, obviously. And you know, I mean, you had so many different dynamics. You had the trio all coming in. You had me and Holly still a pair in the game. You had Eric and Shannon still a pair in the game. You have, Victoria and either Chris or Shubal, because there actually was uncertainty still at this point. I think it was mostly solidified after the fake idol incident. I mean, dude, I go back to that challenge, and I was the one who saw Sabrina and Shubal talking after the challenge. And I was just like, why the fuck are they talking? And I went up to a couple of people. I was like, dude, like, Sabrina and Shubal are talking right now. And they were just like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, they might be partners. And I'm just like unsettled. I'm like, no, like, that doesn't make sense. Like, Sabrina has tribal with us in an hour. Like, what could they be talking about? And I knew Schubel was Mr. Idol guy. And I, at that point, was 100% sure Schubel had one. Like, I didn't have any proof, but I just, it's like one of those things, you're just like, Schubel has to have an idol. And, you know, we're going into that vote where we had to flip on Senti. And I had been trying to tell, you know, Ashley and Eric and Holly, I had been trying to tell them, guys, I think that she has an idol. Like, I think she's going to pull out an idol. Like, I think we either need to vote for Chris or we need to split or something. And they were just like, no, dude, like, you're being paranoid. Like, you're really being paranoid. I was like, no, I'm not being paranoid. I literally think I told this to Ashley. I was like, no, I'm not paranoid, Ashley. I'm just better at this than you. And
that sounds effective.
No, that's like literally what I think I said. And then literally you go to the tribal where like it's ending and Sabrina's like says her little like line that Schubel literally spoon fed her. And she's like, oh, well, like I think, you know, she like pulls it out. She's like, I know I'm not going anywhere. And I think it's time to vote Austin. And I had been watching her the whole time, which I don't know if you guys remember that tribal, but I'm literally like looking at her and I see her pull it out and I like kind of nod my head. I'm like, yep, there it is. And literally, like, I'm like, nope, it's not fucking time to vote. It's not time to vote. And, like, my alliance members are like, what? Like, confused because they didn't see it and they didn't put together what she was saying and they weren't observant enough. So literally, they're like confused. And I'm just like, you guys, we have to, like, figure out what to do right now. Like, she has something in her hand and I don't know whether it's fake or not. It's probably fake, but there's no way of really knowing. I was like, she probably got it from Schubel and we have to figure something out. And, you know, that's when I pretty much talked and we whispered and said the safest thing to do would be to just vote for Senti. That was the guaranteed way to be safe.
Yeah. So not a big loss to them, have Sabrina leave right before the merge.
No, definitely 100%. No. I mean, honestly, if I go back and again, I give props to Chris after the Sabrina vote because he was social and he didn't overplay. Like, he wasn't trying to get me out, he wasn't trying to make any crazy moves. He was just like, look, like, I will vote with you. He was like, I don't have anything. I'm drawing dead. And you know, they the girls at that point definitely wanted Sabrina because Holly was having her little side hustle with Chris, which I didn't really know much about. And I think at one point I had talked to Eric and I was like, I was feeling much more like Chris needed to go. But the girls wanted Sabrina. And I was like, at that point, I was like, okay, you know what? I was like, fuck it. I don't care. I was like, let's just vote for one of them. King actually had a really good move that round too, which I think is maybe in the episode, but he baited and sold Sierra Sabrina so badly that we were voting for Holly. That's why that vote was 3-2-1. We pretty much told Chris, you got to vote for Sabrina. And Schubel, I remember trying to, you know, in hindsight, I think he was pretty much telling Sabrina, your best bet is to vote for Chris 100%. And if she had, it would have been 3-3.
Right.
And we would have revoted, I believe, Sabrina. But yeah, I mean, like, King pretty much came up to me and we were talking and he was like, I was like, dude, I think it's a good move to, you know, tell Sabrina that we're going to vote Holly out and that you're pissed at her and she's a good player. And so he did. He was like, hey, we were sitting in the basement, we were drinking, chilling. And he was like, do I have to? He was like, I'll feel kind of bad lined or she's kind of my girl. And I was like, dude, you should. And so he went with it and he just fucking suckered her. So that's why the vote came out 3-2-1. But yeah, losing her was I mean, Chris would have been optimal, obviously, but that's hindsight. At the time, I think Sabrina was definitely more of a threat to me.
Right, easy to say. Now knowing how he's going to win 6 of the immunity challenges or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
100%. Yeah. Well, once you hit this merge, what was your approach, I guess, in trying to get a majority together of these 12 people, and how did all of this come down on Faluke?
So this is where, if you go meet back to me in this mindset, this is where it's pretty clear that I just am really not, I don't have a great stronghold on the game. You have the immunity challenge and I think what Micah wins the memory one. and they have clues. And I don't even remember the first sort of targets. I know at some point it was this is the merge round. So this is when Holly came to me and wanted to go for Shannon. She was like, I need to get Shannon out this round. And she was like, and you can't tell her. And I was like, you realize you're asking me. She was like, I know, but she was like, she's a strong player. She's connected. She's got a partner in the game. She's going to go far. And she's the most biggest threat to me. And I, you know, basically like got her to the point where, you know, that's where the whole car conversation I think is happening. And she's just like, you need to like man up and fucking play. And I was like, okay. And I don't even remember in that situation if I was really agreeing to it or if I was just like sick of hearing Holly talk to me at that point. But I was like, you know what, you're right. Like I need to not be a bitch and vote out my friends. But then I was with Eric and I think I told him actually first that Holly was trying to go for Shannon. And then it got out and then Holly came back to me and she was like, you fucked up my game. Shannon still didn't trust me at that point. She didn't realize I was literally keeping her name off the block. And then at my target for the merge round was Victoria. And that got no traction. And I thought it was like a toss up between like I thought it was going to be between Victoria and Holly, I think. And I honestly got to the point where it was not that far before tribal. It was like 3 or 4 or 5, whatever hours for tribal. And I had kind of signed off on the round. I was like, I'm not going to get my way. I don't think I'm going to vote for Victoria and she's probably not going to go home. And I think it's going to be, I was like, I think it could very well be Holly, or Shannon. Like I thought it was going to be Holly and Shannon were going to push for each other. I didn't know what was going to happen. I knew I wanted Victoria. I knew people weren't listening to me. But I knew I wasn't getting votes from what I heard. Apparently my name actually did come up a little bit. To my knowledge, I was safe. I just didn't have any power. Which was weird for me. And so I just kind of was like, okay, fuck it. There's more going on here and I'm actually not the forefront. And I remember I was sitting with Eric in our basement and, we were like, so what's the deal? And he was kind of quiet and he was like, all right, he was like, all right, look, I'm gonna tell you something, but he was like, I'm really not supposed to tell you. And I was like, okay. And I was like, you gotta tell me. And he was like, I think Faluke is getting a lot of votes. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, yeah. He was like, I think that Evan and Micah are like really, like they really are gonna try and push for Faluke tonight. And I was like, literally, that was the first I had heard of it. I asked Eric, I was like, dude, why? I was like, how? I was like, why have I not heard any of this? He was like, well, Evan and Micah don't want you to know because they're afraid you'll go tell Shannon since Shannon and Faluke are close, because Shannon and Faluke had gotten really close at that point and they didn't want Shannon to know because they didn't want Faluke to know basically. And so I was like, holy shit. I was like, okay. I was like, dude, why won't people go for Victoria? This is stupid. And then I kind of scrambled a little bit because I was, you know, despite me being like, oh, I'm just going to vote for Victoria, fuck it. Like, this drive in me to still be in the majority and make sure I knew or at least appeared to know what was going on. That was something I wanted. So I remember walking, this was by chance and it was not on camera, but I ran into Micah on the way to tribal, probably 30 minutes before tribal. And I like was talking to him. I was like, what's going on? He was like kind of playing dumb with me. And I was like, dude, I was like, I don't know what's going on, but you shouldn't be lying to me and you don't want to burn a bridge with me that you don't need to. And I like literally looked him dead in the eye and he caved and he was like, all right. He was like, I'm going to tell you what's going on. Like he was like, I think we're getting votes, a lot of votes for Faluke. He was like, we didn't want to tell you because we didn't want you to tell Shannon. I was like, dude, if you didn't want me to tell Shannon, just tell me and I won't tell Shannon. And so then we went to tribal. Shannon was coming from work, so I did not tell her. And again, another mistake, let Shannon go blind into that tribal. 9-3 vote. Shubal played it perfectly, tipped Shannon off, voted for Holly. That's kind of how it played out. I mean, that's like my vantage point, but I did not have a lot of power, was being kept out of things because of certain relationships, and you know, just really had no real say in Faluke going home, but just voted for her because that's where the numbers were.
So were you worried for your own skin at that point, or do you think maybe you could climb your way back into some kind of power position?
I mean, if you talk about after Faluke, like, I still knew that I was pretty cool with Evan, and I knew that Ashley, I knew that I would still hear about my name coming up. And you know, I obviously knew I had Eric. Things were not good with Shannon at that point. She was pissed that I didn't tell her. She was like, I love going into tribals, you know, blinded. And I was like, look, here's what happened. Like, it happened last minute. I told her, I was like, I found out pretty last minute and I was told not to tell you. I was like, they thought you were close with Faluke. And so, I mean, I don't know how I felt. I mean, I don't think I felt in danger. I know I tried to win that immunity challenge pretty badly. But like you see, Shannon popped my balloon to show her loyalty and to show that she was against me, because I know she was starting to have those conversations. And that should have been more of a red flag to me than it was. But I don't think I even felt super, super in danger at that point. But I mean, there were just so many conversations happening with so many people that it's hard to really know. I mean, plans changed a pretty good amount, I would say. Like, this isn't even in the episodes, but the round of 11, where it, I can't remember if this was the round of 12, but I believe it was early in the round of 11, maybe even before the challenge. I actually tried to plant seeds and start a plan to get Micah out. And it got back to him relatively early. And then I sat down with him and I was like, look, dude, I'm going to own it. I'm going to like own this 100%, but we need each other. But yeah, like, I was really shaken by the fact that you and Evan tried to keep me out of a plan, and it made me lose a little bit of trust in you. And I did toss your name out as a possible go home. And I was like, look, I have thrown it off the board completely. If you want to go for me this round, I get it, but I'm telling you, you don't need to. I'm on your side. And he looked at me straight up and he was like, no, no, no. He was like, I appreciate you so much for owning it. And he was like, I agree. We have to be on the same side this round. That never even like made the cut, but that was something that happened. I like made a move or initiated conversations against Micah, and then actually had to literally completely own it and get him to not be against me. And I think that's just another kind of clear indicator that sort of shows I was really not in control.
How did that feel? Because I don't have the clearest memory of Maryland Outback, but I don't remember any extended periods where you had a ton of cause for concern. And it seems like potentially this merge and obviously the round where you're eliminated may have been, at least in that respect, like the low point of your Survivor career in terms of having like no real control or sway in how things are going.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, the only time in Outback was the after we got Chris out. And that was when we tried to split it, dumb, like just not a good move. And Nicole went home, which actually it might have been good because me, Nicole, and Steve were being seen as like a tight three. And then the round after Nicole went, the, you know, Siona and Ryan banded everyone together to go against me and Steve. But even then, like, I didn't take people coming for me, like, even like as like a, what's the way to say it? Like, I didn't take it as like, oh, I'm going to go home. It was like, what do I need to do? It was like, what do I need to do to make sure I don't go home? And that was how I operated in Outback. And whereas in this, it was more like, holy shit, like, I hope I've done enough to not have my name come up.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what was it like this round where you do end up getting eliminated here with 11 people left? Was it, I mean, I would imagine it was distinctly different than most of the rounds where you're like in control and feeling good.
Yeah.
But, did you pick up on any, kind of tells that this was finally your time?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So I think Austin, I don't remember whether he put a hashtag blindside, but I was not shocked I went home. I was shocked I went home because I was like, wow, I'm gone. But like, it wasn't like a round where you feel in control and you're completely blindsided. It was, it was one of those things where it was like, man, I'm crossing my fingers, really hoping that I pulled something off. But basically that round, I was again really wanting Vittoria out. And at that point, we were very confident Shubal probably had an idol. And especially since Sabrina's had been fake, we were like, if he has a fake, he probably has a real one. And so who won the challenge? Evan, I think, won the challenge. So he was safe. And, I think I'm sure stuff happened before this, but I know that my plan that I pushed was a 5-4 split on Vittoria and Shubal. I was still kind of under the impression that they could be partners because we didn't know for sure. I mean, I was more sure that Sabrina had been Shubal's partner, but at the same time, I wasn't going to push for Chris and Vittoria just because I still somewhat thought Chris was not anti me. And again, that's where like I was deaf, my blinders were up. And I'm trying to think. So the main sort of thing that happened that round that really blew things up was, I want to say it was after the Faluke vote that me and Chris and Shannon were hanging out at Shannon's apartment, and which was fine. I thought that was good for me. I was like, this is like a good thing to happen. Like I need to be like building this back up with Shannon. I need to know what Chris is doing. And I left, and Chris and Shannon at that point, I guess, were whatever they were starting to become. And I was like one of the few people that was aware of it because I was so good friends with Shannon. And I even asked her, I was like, hey, like, are you and Chris, like, you know, are you guys like, you know, are you guys, are you, do you like him? Like, what's the deal? And, I don't remember how exactly it got out, but he definitely at some point spent the night there. And I even asked her about it. And who knows if this is, they might both shoot me if they know I'm talking about this, but whatever. It was years ago. And basically what ended up happening was in some regard, it got blown out of proportion that I was telling people they were like a thing and telling people that they were like a thing and that I was using it to like, that I was like using like personal information or personal relationships to try and like lessen their position in the game. When in reality, it was more just like, I'm just calling it like I fucking see it. Like I'm just calling it like I see it. And the thing I didn't consider was like, obviously Shannon's going to take ill to that. So she was then pissed both from a game and a personal perspective of like, why are you talking about my life? And I'm like, look, I'm just calling it like I see it. And so then it was like just this whole thing. I think it kind of got out through Evan, actually. I think Evan was the first person that I mentioned it to. And then it became like, and I didn't even tell them anything definitive. I just was like, yeah, I think Chris was hanging out with Shannon or something, whatever. And it just got out. And then Shannon came back at me and like grilled me for it. And there was a whole conversation the night of the tribal that me and Shannon basically were like, we just need to talk as friends. And we weren't even talking game. And it was like a couple hours before tribal. And I remember I was sitting there with her and I knew she was pissed. We weren't on camera. And she all of a sudden got a phone call from Alex G. And I looked at her phone. I was like, that Alex calling you? And she was like, yeah. She was like, I gotta go talk to him to figure out like what I'm doing. And I'm just like, that was the red flag. That's when I was like, oh shit, like I am really not in a good position. Mm-hmm. And so she like left me to go meet up with Alex G. So that's when I was like, oh shit, like I don't feel secure in votes at all. So then I was trying to scramble and try and get the vote to not be split at all because I was like, I don't feel confident in a split. Evan and Micah were convinced they had Alex G on their side. I was like hoping Shannon was on my side, but not 100% sure at all. And you know, Chris was like a wild card to me at that point. I was like, I feel like he would vote for me in a heartbeat, but at the same time, he's told me he isn't. So that's when I scrambled and I went to Eric. I was like, dude, I don't think we can split it. And I was like, I'm just playing my instincts. I was like, if I had to put my money down, Shubal will play an idol for himself. He won't be willing to risk it for Vittoria. I don't think Vittoria is his partner. I think that Sabrina, I think all the pieces have led me to think Sabrina was definitely his partner. He's not going to play an idol for someone who's not his partner, and he's not going to be willing to risk his own game. So he's going to play and cancel any votes on himself. So we have to put all of our votes on the same person. And he was like, so who do we vote for? I was like, we need to vote for Victoria. And he was like, okay. He was like, I'm down for that. And then it was, I need to get to Holly and Ashley, and I need to get to Evan and Micah, because we need to all vote for the same person, or else me or one of us is going to go home, which obviously it turns out it was Micah was their other option. So I remember being in the hallway with Evan, again, not on camera, and just being like, dude, like we – like you got to get – you and Micah, you got to vote. We got to vote Victoria. I was like, the split, I don't think it's going to work. I don't know. He was like, I don't know, man. I think it's, he was like, I think we're good. Like, he was like, I think Shannon and Chris and Alex are on board. And I was just like, dude, we need to play it the way we know gets us what we want. And that's to put all six on Victoria. And I was like, dude, even if Shubal plays it for Victoria, it's not going to be you. You're safe. Just get the votes on one person. And tried to go to Holly and Ashley and did the same thing. And Ashley had – they had this weird thing. They didn't want to vote for Victoria, which obviously makes a lot more sense in hindsight. They were building up that relationship. And they were just like, no, we need to vote for Shubal. We need to vote for Shubal. He'll go home. And I was like, no, he won't. I was like, we don't have the split. And so the goal – the plan was originally to do five I think it was five Victoria and four Shubal. But obviously that was not the – truth, because Chris, Shannon, and Alex were on with Victoria and Shubal. So they were going to have five, and they had heard about the split, obviously, because Alex knew about the split, and Shannon knew about the split, and Chris knew about the split. So I was trying to counter the split and get six on one person, and it just didn't work. I lit into the two duos many times since then, being like, you guys just again, like didn't, I mean, and that's why it is kind of frustrating. Cause like, it's like, I know that I at points haven't been in control, but really the only times I actually genuinely felt out of control were the drunk tribal night where I probably should have gone home, and the Faluke vote. But every other vote, I actually think I had dead on. If you take the three guys tribe votes, I knew almost everything that was going on. If you take after drunk tribal, the Sabrina fake idol, I was completely keyed in on her and observant. Just obviously didn't maybe act accordingly, because we actually could have just done a 3-2 split that night if I had played it better and if my tribe had been not as dumb. And then even with the night I went home, like I had it. And I tried everything in my power to get six votes on Victoria, and the four of them just they were set on voting for Shubal. And I was like, okay, I just want you guys to know, like, you are wasting your votes.
It sounds like, on the whole at least, pretty happy with most of your decision making and the way you played. Going out here in 11th place, how did you feel about that as the overall result for All Stars for you? Were you happy to have made it that far, given the kind of reputation you had entering the season?
At the time, given everything that was going on with me personally, and the strain that was being put on my relationships with both Shannon and Holly, and even Shubal, me and him had some heated exchanges, and then just overall where I was mentally, more than likely the best thing for me at that point was probably to get voted out, just for like my life. And I never would have admitted that at the time, even though I might have thought it. But it was an okay ending. Like, I remember Shubal on your guys' podcast. He was like, I don't have any regrets. I definitely have pinpointed moves and regrets where I just did not make the best decision. And so for those moments, like, I can easily say, like, me voting Senti out was ludicrous, and that should have not happened. That should have been a 3-2 split on Chris and Sabrina, and then we would have lost again and voted out the other one of Chris or Sabrina. Mm-hmm. And that how that played out alone was terrible for my game. But for the most part, I mean, To your note of the fact that I was easily probably the biggest target on the guys' tribe, and arguably maybe the biggest threat in the game. And the fact that I was able to wiggle out of a couple situations, and you know, the moves that I made and the kind of game awareness, you know, even if I wasn't always had like a stronghold on the game, I was at least in the know enough and dedicated enough to do things that you know, got me at least to the point. Like I said, I mean, I had it. I think when I went home, I think I knew down to the wire what I needed to do, and I just wasn't able to pull it off. But I mean, merge, and the way me and Austin talked about it was like after Drunk Tribal, I was essentially living on borrowed time because that should have been the time. That should have been when I went home, and 11th sounds a lot better than 15th. So,
yeah. So overall, very happy that you did All Stars and played again.
Oh, 10,000%. You couldn't pay me enough to play Strong Maryland, or rather, you couldn't ask me to do enough. Like if they hit me up now and were like, we'll let you play a season, but still be a full-time, like, in the workforce, just come back and do it, I would do it. I mean, I really would.
Make it happen, third-generation host.
I've played.
Get us not in the...
It's not Anders play. Anymore. It's the third Drew, guy now.
Drew.
Sorry, Drew, for not knowing your name.
Drew. No, Drew's really cool. Drew came on at some point during Anders' season. But this is a little-known fact that very few people know. I was almost in season 6. I almost played Anders' first season.
What?
Yep. I applied. I talked to Anders a lot and went really. I went back and forth and I was like, nah, dude, I'm just kidding. Like, you got to start new. You shouldn't have me in it. And then I would hit him up hammered and be like, dude, are you really going to tell me that a season without me in it is better than a season with me? Because you're wrong. And
did any other former players make similar pitches, or did they just pitch their siblings?
No, not at all. No, I mean, there was no one else that was trying to play again. I mean, it was literally just me being like, I want to play again. Like, I need to play and win. And he wasn't ruling it out. They were just, you know, he was talking to me about why he thought it was a bad idea. But at the end of the day, if I had really pushed it and been like, dude, I want to play. And are you really going to tell me that, like, Joe Schmo is gonna, like, are you really going to tell me that Matt King was a better casting than me? You know, God bless him. I love him. Love Eric. But, like, my point was, I'll be better than most of the people you'll be in it. But his point was, it just doesn't make sense to have someone who just played and who's already played twice be in the season for my first one. And at some point we just I threw in the towel and we were like, dude, it just is. I honestly, he was like, I love you, and Anders and I have a really good relationship. He was like, I would love to host you, but he was just like, it doesn't make sense. And honestly, he was like, I don't think it'd be good for you right now to play.
You still made it onto the screen voting in that first or second first tribal council.
I know, right? It's kind of funny. The funniest shit was when we voted Sierra out. I remember afterwards some point being like, damn, well, this is the second time, because I actually voted for her in lieu of Marissa during Terrapin Trials, because Marissa was not at that tribal. She was on FaceTime. So I actually voted for Sierra that tribal in Trials.
That's why one of the kind of real treats of the season 6 premiere, I didn't notice it as much in episode 2, but was seeing like you and Shubal and Holly, and I think Micah was out there filming for the season after All Stars.
Yeah, Evan, Micah, Shubal, me, Holly. I think Victoria's there at some point. Katie's in episode 1. So yeah, we were really involved. I mean, I was there season 6 pretty much every challenge. I was there the whole way.
What was the rest of your season like, just as a spectator and then as a jury member? And because if nothing else, you go home in 11th, and then you're still roommates with King, who ends up going all the way almost to the final. So
right.
Was that like an awkward dynamic in itself?
There's some funny stories there. So first off, I get out and Austin actually I think he spent the night at my house that night because he knew I was bummed. He did not want me to go. I mean, he did not want me to go home and drink and do anything stupid, because I was really not in a good point in life, and that was a big undercut. I mean, I cared so much about it. Like, we talked about how like my mentality was different from Outback, whereas in Outback I was like, I'm going to win. Just because I wasn't operating of the I'm going to win mentality, I'm going to do what it takes to win, that doesn't mean that I didn't want to win. I mean, I wanted to win with every ounce that I had. Like, I was putting so many hours into the game. I just wasn't formulaic enough and forward-looking enough about actually having a plan to win. It was more like, I'm just so dedicated that this is, like, my life right now. From the point I got out and really started to absorb it, I mean, it was tough. After I got voted out, they were actually going right to a challenge. And I asked Austin, I was like, can I at least just come watch? And I could tell he sort of broke his heart. He was like, dude, you can't, you're the first juror. You can't be around them right now. They have to mesh and bond and continue in the game. And I just sort of sat back and thought about it. I was like, damn, like, this was the first challenge I haven't been at in a long time, because I've been, you know, a part of all the All-Star stuff to that point. I was there for pretty much all of season 4, definitely all of season 3, and literally all of season 2. So I've literally been at almost every Survivor Maryland thing since day one of Outback, save, you know, obviously tribals that I'm not a part of, and save, like I said, the final, I think, 4 challenge of season 4 and like the final tribal of season 4, I wasn't able to go to. It was like, it hurt. It was like crushing. I was like, damn, like it's over for me. Like, I'm out and there's no more challenges. There's no more voting. There's no more scheming. Like, I'm on the jury. It was interesting. I mean, I definitely started to absorb and look at a lot of like the mistakes that I thought I had made. But I was definitely like, you know, I definitely had my people I was rooting for and people I was rooting against. And I was excited. I mean, I had a lot of thoughts. I poured tons and tons of thoughts into the jury thread. At some point I had to just kind of, you know, accept it and just sort of be like, all right, here you are, juror number one. But I always knew that I would be very invested as a jury member. I mean, I think I'm literally the only one to go. I think the only tribal that I did not go to was the Shannon tribal. And I don't think anyone went to that one because it was in the morning.
Yeah, there was one. I remember there was some like pouring rain tribal that you even showed up at.
I was the only one. I was the only jury member to go to the Alex vote. I went to legitimately every single one.
Yeah.
Minus the Shannon one. And I think that was because, like I said, I think it was just during the daytime. And I think Austin sort of gave like his brief thoughts on who could go home. And I didn't really want to be there if it was Shannon being out. And I think he had mentioned that it might be Shannon. He didn't give any context. It didn't affect anything, but, I pretty much asked him, I was like, do I need to be at this one? And he was like, nah, he was like, you don't need to come. It's all good.
Yeah. I have a couple questions about just life as a juror, but, I'll ask this first, cause it's the one I would be most regretful about forgetting to ask, which is, one thing we'd heard a lot about from everyone we've talked to this point is how underrated King in particular, his game was based on it, the way he seemed to come across on the TV episodes. If it had come down to King against Chris Thomas, which way would you have voted?
I have to imagine, oh man, I don't know. I really don't. Because I was pretty torn about Ashley and Chris.
Right.
I mean, I really did not want Chris to win All Stars. I'll be honest, and he knows that. Like, I really, really did not want him to win. Just our whole rivalry, and I knew how much it would complete his story about, you know, me voting him out in our season and him getting me out and then running all these immunity challenges. And I was just like, every single time. I was just like, I pray Chris is the next one out. Like literally I was, when I went to the Alex vote and I saw Alex and Ashley votes come out, I was literally dumbfounded because I saw Victoria with the necklace and I saw Chris and Holly vulnerable. And then the votes come out for Alex and Ashley. And I'm like, what game are you guys playing? No, literally, I was just blown away. I was like, you guys are Final Six, and you're like, I was like, are all you threats just going to try and get to the end with each other? And I was just like, man, I was like, I think this was the last shot to get him. I was like, I think he can win out, especially since I was familiar with the types of challenges that are done late in the game, and he'd already proven that he was good at them. And I just, as soon as Alex, you know, came, I was like, I mean, maybe Holly or Victoria can snag a challenge from him, but I would be shocked. Shit, what was the question?
Well, no, that was just the first of, I was just curious about,
the vote. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm always going to vote for who I think deserves it. And I think I would have gone in with a more open mind. And you saw my question and how I was as a juror. I think my question, if King had been there, was I need you to prove to me and not include the fact that you're my roommate or that you're my friend. Like, you need to talk to me about why you deserve it, because Chris has got a good case. And I think I would have been open-minded. I don't know which way I would have voted, to be honest, because I didn't even know walking over to the table if I was voting for Chris or Ashley.
Wow. Yeah, over the course of just the time as a juror, were the opinions kind of going up and down? Because the one kind of consistent thing it seems like we've heard is that Holly would have done at least pretty well against any kind of competition she would have wound up there in the finals against. But yeah. Who else were the favorites?
First of all, not to be amiss how much fun Schubel and I had after he got out. I mean, literally, he came up to me after, and like, we both gave a big hug, and it was like we don't have to fucking lie to each other anymore moment. And I remember like just giving him a big hug, and my first question was about the idol, and he literally held up his idol, which was the one he had given Sabrina. It was the one he had flashed the night that they voted me out, and he was like, "Yo, this jaunt is fake as hell." And I was like, he was like, I fucking knew it. You know, we were just laughing, and that was a cool way for him to go out. I think he owns it. And I think, I mean, he didn't get really beat by anyone. And after me and him, I mean, me and him, I think, you know, he says he thinks he had a good shot to beat me. I think it would have been really difficult for anyone to beat me in the end, given how much of a target I was. I think Schubel would have had one of the best chances to maybe beat me. And I think it would have been a hell of a final two. And obviously getting to the end with like someone like Holly or Shannon. I mean, I think Shannon was a jury threat. Evan was a jury threat. I mean, at that point, Alex had zero chance of ever getting a vote at the end. He would have gotten washed. Victoria would have had a really hard time. Ashley was going to have a hard time against most people. Micah, it would have depended on who he was next to. Like, if he was next to Evan, he never would have won. I don't think if he was next to Shannon, I don't think he would have won. But if he was next to someone like on the other side of him, like a Chris or a Victoria or someone like that, I think he would have had a good chance. But I mean, I saw it stacked up. I definitely saw Holly having a really good shot to win. But I think she needed to take out Chris and Victoria to do so. I mean, I think her biggest mistake, I think, was not voting Chris out at six, because I think she would have been fine.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think she would have had still Ashley, and I think she could have convinced Victoria to do a girls three. I mean, you say that you could convince her to do a girls three, but they also tried that already.
What was your take on why everyone seemed so intent on not just keeping Holly around, but really wanting to work with her and almost enabling her to win, at least seeing that way from the outside?
She's just good.
She's
just good. I mean, like, so I've played, she and I and a couple other people really got into the online Survivor games. I'll say it like this. I've yet to win one. And Holly's won three. She's just good. It used to pain me to say that a little more, because it would be frustrating, because we do have like a competitive like edge. But you know, she's just socially really able to connect with people, and strategically she's really able to understand what makes sense to do with certain people at the right time. It's hard to like give specifics, I guess.
It seems like she has a good grasp on where people are coming from and what they're looking for out of a conversation.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to say it. I mean, I guess like I wasn't around for some of the conversations as much in the later game, but like I'll give you this an example. We just played a Big Brother game that it was a Big Brother kind of format all-star game that we both played. She actually in the first season I played of it, she got brought in as a twist, as a returner. So it was her second season. And then we got nominated a couple times together, and I got 10th place and she ended up getting third. And then they brought us both back for All-Stars, and she played me and backstabbed me, and I got fifth. And then she swept it 9-0 in the end. So she just had in the end game of that game, for example, so many end game connections. And then you can look at parallels in All-Stars, like she had Chris and she had Victoria and she had Ashley. Like she was really well set up. I think it was a tough decision for Chris to do what he did. I mean, she really looked out for him that game, and it was definitely the best move for him to send it. But even that was only a 50-50 shot. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like he was making a move and like voting her out. He was basically saying like, I'm going to burn my bridge with you, hope you get out, and then I have an easy final three.
Right. I think for both of them, they recognized, given the other two that we're here with, there is no chance of the two of us sitting together, and we should probably want each other out as quickly as possible.
Yeah. I mean, I think if Holly stays and Eric goes in the challenge, you have Holly and Ashley and Chris. I mean, I really don't think there's any way Chris and Holly sit next to each other.
Right. They're holding on to the sundial for the title. That's it.
They're holding on to the sundial for who wins the season. I mean, Ashley's going to take Holly 10,000%. Holly's going to take Ashley, I want to say 10,000%. And Chris, maybe 90%. Maybe there's that 10% that Holly can convince him to battle it out and sit next to someone who is an equal competitor.
I wouldn't put – I don't want to put anything past Holly, but that would blow me away if he didn't take Ashley.
She could do it, and she could pitch it as best she could. It would be more about whether or not she could have played to Chris's ego. And I don't say it in a bad way. I have an ego too. But, like, played to his, like, beat me because it'll be more impressive – right. Versus beat Ashley. But I think that Chris was in a way where he just wanted to win, and I think that he knew there was going to be too big. He would have known there was too big of a risk to take Holly.
Right.
And
I think his response would be, actually, I just beat you on the sundial, and that was for the game.
Exactly. I think that it would be I think that it would be almost favor Holly for a Holly Chris final two. I mean, I would have voted for Holly. If it was Chris and Holly in the final two, Holly would have got me, Ashley, Evan, and Micah. Almost no problem. Chris would have got Shannon, Victoria, and Shubal, which would have meant the deciding votes were what? Eric and
Alex G. Just as God intended it, baby.
So yeah, so there you go. Alex had already said he wasn't gonna ever vote for Chris, and King probably wouldn't have voted. King, I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't matter because Alex would have been the fifth, but I think it was favor Holly in that scenario.
Yeah. What have you made of the growth of the Survivor Maryland franchise and how All-Stars now became, for so many of us, like appointment viewing every Monday?
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. I mean, we really were happy with like season two and season three, and then season four was even better. And we were like, this is really good. Like, people should really give it a shot. And then going into All-Stars, I know Austin was excited about the cast. And after it ended and we all kind of decompressed, obviously it didn't start developing for a long time after, but like, he was just like, dude, he was like, this was more than I could have ever asked for. And he was like, it's going to be awesome when it comes out. you know, and it's cool because it's not too big is the way I kind of look at it. Like, it's not like we're famous. It's not like this is ever, this isn't like TV magnitude level. Like, we're not a millions of viewers person, but the people that do watch are so heavily invested. Like, you have, like, let's call it maybe 20 to 25,000 total base of people. And like a large percentage of that are just have such strong opinions and have such a strong adoration for the level of commitment that we play with and that Austin dedicates to. And it's been really cool. And I, my best thing of my favorite thing out of all of it is that Austin really has gotten, you know, the recognition and the praise that he deserves, because it's not like people are blowing smoke up his ass. Like, oh, like, hey, you did good. Good job. I'm glad you, but no, it's like literally like, holy shit, dude, like you ran that and you edited this shit into like entertaining ass stuff. And obviously he always gives us the credit. He's like, yeah, I mean, I just filmed it, but, and you guys played, but it's like, no, nah, man, we kind of ran with your idea. Like, we're behind it because you're behind it. You know what I mean? Like, it's been really cool. And I love talking about Survivor. I love looking back at, you know, my regrets, my gameplay. I love talking about other people's gameplay. I love talking about just the interesting, you know, social experiment that this whole thing is, and to see it have, you know, an impact. And then it's like you're meeting, we're doing the Maryland one day game for Austin's not birthday, but like, you know, to really kind of be a thank you to him. And you have like Greg from the Ohio State game, and he's there and he started his game and they're on like their whatever season. And Adam is in from CBS, and we all, you know, we're all friends. And then you have like the online Survivor gamers, like for orgs. And I mean, like me and Holly, for example, like we were in a Skype chat that someone started at the beginning of All Stars that was just like a Survivor Maryland, like, you know, like watch group. So it's just like a group of people from different online games. Some of them, like, we've met. Holly's met most of them at this point because she's like a traveling guru. But like they all, you know, watch and give thoughts, and it's just been cool, man. It's been cool. I've had random people come up to me. Like, I had a dude at the gym come up to me. Actually, I've had multiple people come up to me at the gym, but one of them, he was on Twitter. His name was actually Colin. But then another guy that I'm actually like friends with in the gym, and then we were sitting at our barber.
Is his name Dom?
No, his name's not Dom. His name's Dave. So close. And so he was sitting next to me, and he was like, hey, he was like, I meant to ask you this. He was like, but I think you like know, or have like had a connection with like someone who I went to college with. She was telling me like you did some Survivor Maryland thing or something. And I was like, oh, what's her name? And he was like, her name is Mel. She like made some immunity necklaces for some game you guys did. And so surely enough, it was Mel on Twitter who, I'm not sure if you guys know her, if I've ever talked to her. And she had made these necklaces for our one day game. And like I said, it's just been random. I mean, I've had people stop me in DC. Some girl stopped me outside a fucking random ass club. And I was with Holly, and she literally looked at me. She was like, this is going to sound super creepy, but like, did you guys like play Survivor at Maryland? And we were like, yeah. And she was like, oh my God, like I watch it with like my mom. Like, we love Survivor. So it's just been like, so like random. And like this, like not fame, but like this mini taste of like, wow, like people are actually watching you.
And that would be the great Mel Got Served, I believe you're
exactly,
referring to.
Exactly. Yeah, shout out to her.
Yeah, Mel's great. But as I understand it, you're looking for a crack at the real thing as well.
Oh, 10 million percent, literally 100 million percent. I was a little lazy this go around with a video. I filmed like 15 minutes because Austin got to a point where he was like, you should just put up a camera and you just need to like talk and be you. So I put up a camera for like 15 minutes, and like right before I had done it, I had cut my finger like a hangnail. And so like literally the whole time you see me like every 2 seconds, like grabbing like a shirt or like a cloth and like pressing my finger. And so like literally I sent it to Austin because he helps me edit my audition videos. And he was like, dude, did you like fucking like gnaw your finger, or like were you just like bleeding out? And I was like, yeah, man, I didn't know what to do. But he told me the video like was just a little too low energy. I mean, it's funny, you guys I think talked about this with Austin in your in your podcast with him was just like, yeah, Chris is pretty lame in confessionals, which I don't think those are
my exact words.
Well, I'm paraphrasing, but like, I think the way you said it was that, like, if you have a montage of like me just playing and being, and then the things I do in the game, it's great. But then like I get behind a camera and I just like, I'm not that same level of energy, which I 100% agree with. But you know, he's pretty much been like, you just need to figure out a way to actually convey your passion and your energy and your desire to play and you know, talk about, you know, what it is that you want to talk about. You just sometimes in confessionals sound boring. I think, to be honest, the All-Stars confessionals, a lot of it is just because, like, when I was sitting down and thinking about it with Austin, I just realized how much fun I was not having. I was like, this sucks. I was like, he would be like, so how are you feeling? I'd be like, dude, I feel awful. I have to vote out my friends and you fucking blow. I hate you. I mean, literally, I was so, like, just sort of lost in the downward aspects of the game and, like, the negative sort of things I was going through in the game and out of the game that I wasn't even, like, giving myself a chance to, like, enjoy it. And then you have someone on the flip side. I mean, Shubal was the complete opposite. Like, he was living for the game. He was living and breathing to make exciting things happen. And, you know, but that's okay. I mean, that's just where I was. I just wasn't having fun. And like I said, I think it definitely showed in my monotone, confessionals that I would have to obviously work on.
Yeah. Chris, I know it is super late or super early in the morning at this point, but so we'll let you get out of here relatively quickly. But was there anything you wanted to address that we didn't get to?
I'll keep talking, man. I mean, you guys can fire away. I mean, I could talk about this shit forever. The one thing I was going to talk about was, you guys had asked me earlier, I forgot, was actually about, on the jury, with Eric, and you asked me like if that was like an awkward dynamic, right?
Yeah.
So the funniest shit would be Eric when he would be drunk and he would come back from wherever he was out and he would just be like, he came back one time and he was like, and this shows a little bit of insight to like my perspective on the jury and especially at the final seven vote, was he came back and he was like, Chris, I really want to talk to you, but I know I can't. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You can't. You're not allowed to tell me anything. So don't. And he was like, okay. Michael found the idol. And I was like, dude, I was like, you can't tell me shit like that. And I popped off on him. He was like, I know, but like, he was like, it doesn't matter. And I was like, no, dude, you can't tell me stuff like that. But I was also laughing. And he was like, yeah, but dude, Mike is also a fucking idiot. He was like, he told everyone. And I was like, dude, you got to go figure that shit out. So I knew about that. Obviously shouldn't have, but the game's not perfect. But so anyway, so then at that tribal, you can imagine me, because I didn't tell anyone. I didn't even tell. I think I might have told Austin. I was like, yeah, just so you know, Eric's being dumb, but I don't like, it's not going to affect me. And so literally I'm watching that tribal and I'm the only juror that like knows that Micah is doing what he's doing and basically making one of the worst moves ever. But yeah, I mean, to that question, I just wanted to give a little blurb that like living with Eric was very funny, because he was always still trying to talk strategy with me and talk about the game. And I was just like, dude, I can't, man. I lost.
Yeah. Do you co-sign the general kind of endorsement that King was playing a lot better than people who just watched the episodes would probably realize?
I do. I think he's even worse than me in confessionals. And he just doesn't – he's not there to play flashy. I also think he's very – I think he provides a very comedic relief from an editing perspective just because he's like kind of goofy. He's like a goof. But I know there were so many times – like the example I gave when – you know, I had the idea. I was like, dude, just to ensure our safety, like, I think you should go and get Sabrina to throw her vote. Like, that was my idea. But at no point did I, like, feel, like, risky in having or making plans with him. I knew he was capable of stuff like that. Like, I know he was able to talk and manipulate the people. I mean, tons of times he would come back to me and he would be like, yeah, like I talked to so and so. Here's a good example of how good King was. So when the whole Faluke vote, when Evan and Micah told him and they told him not to tell me, he told me And he was like, you can't let them know that I told you. Like, you have to make something else up. He was like, you cannot tell them that I'm the one that told you that Faluke is going. And I didn't. So when I went to Micah, I basically acted like I had some zen. Or, you know, I literally told Micah to his face. I think I told you guys this earlier, but like, don't burn a bridge that doesn't need to be burned. Micah, in his voting confessional for that round, literally says, like, I don't want to burn bridges. I don't have to. So clearly my connection with Micah, like made sense. Like, how I approached him actually led him to believe that I was just like wanting to work with him. I was riding home the other night with Micah from a Maryland basketball game, and we were talking about All-Stars. Actually, we were listening to the Shubel podcast, actually. And we were talking, and we were talking about the Faluke vote, because I was just like, dude, why? What made you guys go for Faluke that round? And we sort of talked about it. And I was like, yeah, well, like, after Eric told me about that whole plan, like, I like sort of snapped into action, and then I like ran into you. And Micah looked at me. He was like, wait. He was like, Eric told you about that? And I was like, yeah, that's how I found out. And he was like, damn. Michael was like, holy shit, I never knew that until right now. So literally to this day, like, we're all still like finding out things that we did. And that was one thing I think Eric did, was he played that perfectly. I mean, like, it's one of the things, I think Chris said it on your podcast, and like, Eric was always in a good spot. And I think it's because he was actually really intelligent with his conversations. Like, he told me, but he stressed to me, like, you cannot throw me into the bus. You have to do something else. You have to convey that, you know, in another way. He was like, I don't want you to end up on the wrong side of the vote, but like, you can't. Like, he was like, I'm good, but you know what I mean? And so I did, and I kept true to that. And literally to this day, Mike and Evan didn't know that I was the reason, or that Eric was the reason I even actually knew about that whole plan. So
yeah, the further we get into finding out more about King, it really does seem like we're just getting closer and closer to uncovering that he's been Kaiser Soze this entire time. And
exactly.
He actually just, you know, we've all been falling for his master plan all these years.
Exactly, the master plan. The funniest shit is, like, King is the biggest dude, and he's so cut. He's actually, like, training, I think, to go into, I think, the Navy or the Marines. I can't remember. And he can't win a damn challenge. He never, in either season, from a pretty, like, a medium merge run and then a deep merge run, and never won an immunity challenge.
That's
which
crazy.
Is, you would look at him and be like, he's going to win every physical thing, but no.
Yeah. The last question I have,
sure,
is, what, if anything, really surprised you from watching the episodes back?
Oh, man. I'll give you a specific answer, and then I'll give you a general answer. So the general answer would be just how much more went on than met the eye, like an absurd amount. The amount that everyone played, I would say, the level to which Chris spread my name, never knew that. The amount of like conversations that, you know, people like Evan were having, I mean, just everyone just playing, even Alex G, like he wasn't a flashy player, but like he, the way I describe Alex in both seasons, he is the most solidified and perfect average player you'll ever have. Like, he is so good at just doing the exact, like, base level survivor.
The level one player.
Like, exactly. I mean, you think about it. Like, he at no point was ever going to win his first season, and he at no point was ever going to win All-Stars, but he didn't get votes, I don't think. Well, he got the votes of the Evan round, but he was never in extreme danger until Final Eight of All-Stars, and he was never in extreme danger in Trials until he went home. So he's doing something right. He's not playing a winner's game, but like, even him, if you classify, let's say Alex was the worst player in All-Stars, which he obviously wasn't because there were people that went out really early, but if he's the worst merge player, he's still doing the right things. He may not be, you know, the most knowledgeable or the most, you know, strategic or savvy, but you know, I mean, he definitely is at least, I would say, All-Star. He's worthy of being in All-Stars. He made sense to be in All-Stars. A couple specific things that really blew my mind was, and this didn't come out until after, like, I had no idea Micah was behind the plan to get me out at the Drunk Tribal. He was working through Sierra, and he really wanted me out, but he didn't want to have to be the one to do it, so he leveraged his partner. and it almost fucking worked. And I never knew that until after the episode started coming out and being like, wow, you really almost had me. There's a lot more specific things I'm sure I could delve into. Just that feeling of when you see someone and you see a conversation happen and you're like, wow, like that's crazy. From a tribal perspective, the Michelle tribal blew my mind. And was probably the most entertaining thing of the season to see, you know, Faluke, you know, kind of dive in and almost get to the bottom. She was playing detective, and then Alex kind of covered Shubal's track. So that was just one of those things where I was like, wow, this season was really something else.
Well, Chris, that covers everything that we have. It's gone 2 a.m. here. I know you have work in the morning. We have places to be. Thank you so much for coming on and giving us the inside scoop on both of your seasons. There's a lot there, that, and I'm sure there's still a ton left to cover. This is only the tip of the iceberg, but there are lots of people out there who love watching All Stars, love watching you play All Stars, and are really going to enjoy diving into this with you.
Absolutely, man. It was a pleasure on my part. It was a pleasure.
All right, and hopefully more where that came from. I think we have Holly in the pipeline coming soon, possibly Victoria too, and a few more names, and Season 6 of Survive Maryland is in full swing, so definitely check that out if you're listening to this right now. But that'll do it from us. Colin's internet has just died, so I will wrap up on his behalf. But Chris, thank you once again from us. Do you have anything else to add before we get you out of here? Any anything to plug? Any social media clout? Anything like that?
Sure. My Twitter, I've been somewhat more active, is Chris __LeCompte. So just Chris _ last name. Not going to do Snapchat. My Instagram is CLeCompte660. I think that's really the main stuff I use. So yeah, follow me if you want to see my life, and all that stuff. So
you got a full Instagram influencer status yet?
I don't think I'm there. I don't know if I want to go down that route, but we'll see. We'll see. I feel like that's generally the traditional route Survivor players go. So.
Sure. Well, if that's going to happen, it's going to start with all of you out there listening, following him. So make sure you get on that. But thank you all of you once again for listening, and we'll talk to all of you again soon. Take care, everyone.